The demands of the kingdom, truth, lies in love. Love and truth are the same. You cannot separate love and truth. You can't separate love, truth, and life because they're all the same. And it's through the words of the Lord Jesus, according to our bishops, that brings us life as we live the Sermon on the Mount. Love your enemy. Now, what we want to do is to discover why it is so important to act on that one single point of Scripture. Why is it necessary to do that? Don't we have the whole Bible to go by? Isn't this something that we should read the whole thing and not just focus in on one part? The whole Bible is a story of my life. It's the beginning and the end of my life. It's the story of my life. It was written to me. It was written about me. And yesterday we took a journey in the very beginning of my life where I was introduced to know the difference between good and evil, and my parents introduced me to that. My teachers in school introduced me to good and evil. If you cheat, God hates a cheater. Y'all understand? So now what do you think I was raised up to hate? Cheaters. And I was the biggest what? Cheater. Who did I hate? Me. You understand? I was introduced to the law of sin and death. I was introduced to the law. Would somebody tell the kitchen just to hold it down a little bit? That's an awful lot of... Boy, they preach in there harder than we do in here. I mean, you get a bunch of Catholic evangelists around, they preach to stoves. I've heard them sitting on stoves. Oh, praise God, brother, you know, hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord Jesus. I mean, you know... I want to talk to them in the kitchen. Be quiet in the kitchen! And it gets louder. Love is the tool, the source of power that God has given us to overcome sin and death. It is a source of wisdom that forms our minds. It is a source of inspiration that directs our life. It is the element of joy that heals our bodies. Yesterday we looked at Genesis and discovered that we're all fearful because we know the difference between good and evil. And we spend most of our life trying to wipe out the evil and it just gets more evil. We pray for God to remove the evil. And it seems to get worse. We become discouraged because the evil gets bigger and bigger, and it seems like the harder we pray, the bigger it gets. So we must be doing something wrong. We must be doing something wrong. In the book of Revelations, in the first chapter, we read that the person that reads the prophecy and the person that listens to it is going to be absurdly what? Come on, let's say it, but y'all help me out here. We're going to be absurdly happy. Say it again.
Happy.
Say joyful.
Joyful.
Excited.
Excited.
Enthused.
Enthused.
Full of knowledge.
Full of knowledge.
With wisdom.
With wisdom.
Established on the rock.
Established on the rock.
Where nothing will move me.
Where nothing will move
I will know the truth.
I will be established in truth.
And nothing can bother me. So this book is going to make us happy. The prophecy of this book. Now, let me read to you in Corinthians what a prophet is. This is prophecy, and a prophet is the one that prophesies. And what he prophesies is prophecy. Y'all understand that? All right, over in Corinthians, a prophet in the 14th chapter is one that does this. Listen to what a prophet does. A prophet is one that speaks to God's people to their improvement. This book is going to improve you. A prophet is one that speaks to their encouragement. I can promise you this book of Revelation will encourage you. It will improve you and it will encourage you. And it will also bring great consolation. That's what a prophet is. A prophet that prophesies must improve, console, and edify, encourage the body. You never condemn the body, and you never govern the body with fear. Fear is knowing the difference between good and evil. It is a separation of God. We're not dominated by fear. We're dominated by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't this good? It's already good, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, now let's get into the Word. We also discovered yesterday that there's certain things that we need to know about this. When they write to us in numerical sequence or give us numerical observations, these numerical things simply mean in our society, and they have forever, that when we use the word seven, it is a terminology that we know seven is finished. A week has 7 days. It's finished. It's over. There's no more week. Seven is a winner. Seven is complete. Seven is it's lucky. You know how we use seven? We've used that number, don't we? I mean, we even use it. You understand? All right. So seven to us is complete, and God here is speaking to the complete church. Who is the complete church?
I am.
Boy, y'all are smart. God, that's... Listen, when we read this, we have to read it like it's written to whom?
Me.
When you do that, all of the mystery leaves it. There's no more mystery to this book. It improves, it encourages, and it consoles. All right? So now listen to this. My name is John, and through our union in Jesus Christ, I am your brother and share in your suffering. Oh, you mean there's going to be some suffering involved in this deal? That if you're living truth, you will suffer. And folks, you're going to suffer whether you're living truth or not. In fact, if you're not living truth, your suffering will be greater than it is if you were living truth. Jesus said his burden is light. It's easy. His yoke is easy. It's not difficult. If you're not living truth, the yoke is extremely painful. It weighs you down. It's confusing. It's bewildering. Frustrated. Y'all understand those terminologies? Okay. So now, John is suffering. He says, I share in your suffering, your kingdom. Oh my goodness, you mean to tell me that John was established in the kingdom of God and he was suffering? Did Jesus not say the kingdom of God is at hand? There's a term that we've used in the church that I never understood. It is called redemptive suffering. When you move into the reality of the church, you will suffer. It's a part of redemption. No suffering, no redemption. If you don't understand suffering as a tool that God purifies us with, then there's much that you have to learn. He was suffering in the kingdom, and he said, "And I share in all that you endure." Are we enduring? Are we suffering? Are we reigning in the kingdom of God? Isn't that good? We're reigning. Our faith says that we are reigning sons of God in His kingdom that's established here on this earth. The kingdom of God is established here by word and deed according to the magisterial teaching of this church. It's established. Not going to be established. It is established. And John, in his life in the church, was suffering, and he was enduring all that the other brothers and sisters were enduring. "I was on the Isle of Patmos for having preached the Word of God that gave witness to the Lord Jesus Christ." Would somebody please tell me what he was preaching? And the very thing that exiled him. I just got through telling you what. Okay, let me ask you this. How many of y'all ever been arrested for singing praises and worships to God? How many of you have ever been arrested for healing the sick? How many of you have ever been arrested for dancing in the Spirit? How many of you have ever been arrested for being baptized in the Spirit? John was arrested for having preached the Word of God. Listen, folks, that gave witness to the Lord Jesus. Now, where do we know we can go right to and know what he was preaching? It's the great Magna Carta. It's the Constitution. It's the demands of the kingdom. Where do we go and know that's what he was preaching? It gave witness to Jesus. Love your enemy gives witness to Jesus. Do good to those that hate you gives witness to Jesus. Pray for those that are mistreating you gives witness to Jesus. When they rob your property, don't ask for it back. It gives witness to Jesus. The only reason that I've not been arrested in this is because I'm not good enough at it yet. I'll tell you, if you ever get enough people living this, I will be out of here like a flash. And I believe I'm getting close. I'm going to tell you, people are upset that we'd preach this. Even in the church. It's being foolish. You're foolish. You got no common sense. It's true. I gave up my common sense for truth. I did. I gave it up. I gave up my ability and my thinking. I gave it up. John was in exile for having preached the Word of God. Love your enemy. He was not running around hollering, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." They won't arrest you for that. They might put you in a nut ward, but they won't arrest you. But you begin to preach the kingdom of God with power to where people will begin to believe you, where people will begin to form, where people will begin to establish community, where people will begin to live and let this light and this salt permeate the earth. I promise you, the world can't stand this message. They'll kill you. Jesus said, "If the world hated me, they'll hate you." And I'm convinced that John the Revelator was arrested and on the Isle of Patmos for running around hollering, "Love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you." Somebody said, "Lock that sucker up." And the reason that they locked him up is because he was powerful. People were following. The Roman soldiers were throwing their swords down and their shields down. And people were beginning to form communities. And they began to praise God and worship God and love everybody. And they arrested him and shipped him off. Amen? Amen? Are y'all beginning to get the picture? The book of Revelation reveals it, if you can read it. But if you don't know the Sermon on the Mount, you won't know what they're talking about. If you've not lived the Sermon on the Mount, you will have no idea what's going on. Our bishop says the very Magna Carta, the demands of the King. It's the operational manual of the handbook that lets us operate in the kingdom. And Pope Paul VI said, when you get into it, you'll listen, to get into this, you will struggle to get into it. It's like taking the kingdom of God with force. I'm going to force myself to do this. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it because I know it's the truth. I'm going to do it. Amen. All right, now listen. It was the Lord's Day, and I was, and the Spirit possessed me. Would somebody tell me when the Lord's Day is? Somebody said Sunday. Today! God made the day, didn't He? Do you know today's a holy day? You know today's been set apart? You know every day's a holy day? You don't have certain days that are holy. Every day's holy. Don't y'all know that?
Yes.
Today has been set apart by God to do a work for God, and He's allowed us the privilege to live in this day to do the work. Very exciting. So today, the Spirit possessed me on the Lord's Day. Are y'all possessed by the Spirit?
Yes.
When?
Now.
On the Lord's Day, we're possessed. Isn't that good? It was written to whom?
Me.
So see how good this thing is? Have y'all ever read it like this before? I'll tell you what, when you leave out of here Friday, you'll be packed full of so much good stuff, you'll just blubber all over everybody. You'll just blah, 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 blah. You gotta listen to me. Oh, glory to God, it's so good. I gotta get back home and tell my wonderful husband. And you get home and run in the house and say, honey, I gotta tell you the good news, the truth of God. He says, shut up, woman, I don't want to hear nothing out of you. And you go running, want to tell your priest and say, who do you think you are? And the struggle will begin within. And folks, you know, because we have the truth, we never get discouraged. How can you discourage the truth? Amen?
Amen.
All right, let me read on here. It said, it was the Lord's day, and the Spirit possessed me, and I heard a voice behind me shout like a trumpet. Do y'all know what this is? A trumpet! That's the reason we got the bugle up here. That's my mouth. That's your mouth, and we're blowing our tune. We are singing our song. Amen?
Amen?
Love your enemy. Let me tell you what it'll do. It'll heal every part of you. It'll remove fear from your heart. It'll remove anxiety right out of your mind. It'll establish you on a solid foundation. You won't be afraid of anybody. That's what loving your enemy will do. And you don't have to go nowhere to look for him. He's right here in this room. Some of you have already developed enemies no longer than you've been here. Doesn't take long for the enemy to show up. And an enemy is anybody that's in opposed to your will on what you want. People that are snoring, that's against your will. God, I wish that guy would shut up snoring. All right. And it says, it was write down all that you see in the book and send it to the seven churches. What about the seven churches? Who is the church? I am. So this church, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, let me offer this as a suggestion to you. I am convinced that these are the seven spiritualities, the complete spirituality of the church. You're going to find every spiritual form of God and of the devil working in this church. And they're going to fix them to be revealed to us. These seven churches, the complete church, you are going to discover your spirituality. That's the reason these churches are given. These churches are us. What I discovered as I began to read these churches, that I found more than two of them in me. I was two or three of these churches when I began to read it. So when you read about these churches, you are reading your spirituality. I'm going to drop on down because I've already used up almost 30 minutes, and I've got to get to the churches. Listen to this. When I saw him, I fell faint at his feet, but he touched me with his right hand and said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not what?
Be afraid.
For I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now I live forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and of the underworld. Now write down all that you see to the present happening and the things that are to come." The secret, here God has given us some real big keys here. I skipped over them simply because I knew they were going to be mentioned over here. The secret to the seven stars. God talks about seven stars. What do we know about seven? They're complete. There's not going to be any more. It said the secret to the seven stars you have seen in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands. What are the seven golden lampstands? Whatever the golden lampstands are, they're what? Complete. There's not going to be any more golden lampstands. They're complete. So now listen to what it is that God tells us that the stars are and the golden lampstand is. What is a golden lampstand? Somebody, let's see if we can get ahead of God here. What do we use a lampstand for? To give off light. This little light of mine. Are we golden? All right, so you're starting to get the picture? Listen to this. It said that in the seven stars, the seven stars are the angels, and the golden lampstands are the seven churches themselves. In other words, all the angels have been given, and you and I are the golden lampstands. Now, if you'll read this through like that, then you will know who you are. You will know your own spirituality because we're fixing to get in to your spirituality. And what you're going to discover, well, let's just get into it. It is so good. Write to the angel of the church of Charlie Osborne and say, "Charlie, here is a message of the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who lives surrounded by the golden lampstand." He lives surrounded by the what? The church. God lives surrounded by the church. How about the communion of saints? The church on earth that's in transition and the church triumphant, the church that has already gone before us. God is surrounded by the whole church, not part of it. The whole church, He is surrounded by it. You and I are an intricate, valuable, irreplaceable part of that church. We are. Church. Temples of the Holy Spirit. And so the angel is writing to the church at Ephesus. There is a certain spirituality about Ephesus. There's a certain spirituality about Charlie Osborne. Now, if I will read this church like it was written to me, I am going to discover some of my faults. I'm going to discover areas that I need to change my mind in. Listen to this. It says, "I know all about you, Charlie Osborne." Doesn't he know all about you? He does. He's the one that made you. "I know all about you, Charlie. I know how hard you've worked, and I know how much you put up with. You put up with a lot of stuff, Charlie. I know that. I mean a ton of stuff. I know how hard you've worked and how much you have put up with. I know too you cannot stand the wicked man. And how you have tested the imposters who call themselves apostles. Would somebody please tell me how an imposter is tested? Do you go up and call him an imposter? You don't have to. How do you expose an imposter? You expose him by you living the words of Jesus. When you live the words of Jesus, the imposter will be exposed. It's not necessarily what you say, it's the way you live. You will expose the imposters that are around us if you will begin to live the Sermon on the Mount, the place that God has called us to love, this agape love, this willingness to suffer without a desire to strike out, the willingness to serve, and expect nothing in return. You will expose the imposters. Now, do you think the apostles that are imposters are going to like it? Now, you begin to see you're going to have a lot of conflict in your life, aren't you? They aren't going to like it. They will come to you and oppress you. Listen to this. It says, I know you cannot... How you have tested the imposters and proved that they were liars. Wherever I go, when you preach the truth about God, you just expose the liars. You expose the apostles that are imposters. You just expose them. You think the world likes that? Didn't Jesus say if the world hated him, they'd hate us? So we need to be hated for a good reason, not a bad reason. We need to be hated for our light, our golden lampstand that shines. Listen to this. It says, I know too that you have had patience. Good Lord, what a wonderful church. Charlie, you are something else. You've exposed the imposter. You don't like the wicked man at all. You have put up with a lot of crap. And you still are, but yet you have patience. You have suffered for my name without growing tired. You're still zealous and you're still... I mean, you think, my Lord, this church is okay. Amen? But the angel that is writing to the church of Charlie Osborne says, hold it! I have a complaint to make about you. Now here's where... we are corrected in our spirituality. It said, remember your first love. Remember when you were first baptized in the Holy Spirit. Remember that first anointing. Remember that great joy. Remember when you were so on fire and so loving and so compassionate. Remember those days. Y'all remember? Jesus said, you've lost it. You know how you lose that first love? You become judges. Well, the prayer group leader, he ain't doing it right. You know this church is dead. I got to go to another church to be filled. You know... if they did it like I wanted them to do, this would be a wonderful, charismatic, Holy Ghost, Bible-toting, tongue-talking church. Nobody understands me, so I will go off to a Bible-toting, tongue-talking, charismatic, Holy Ghost-anointed church and leave all of you idol worshipers and all of you old rotten sinners and you pagans, I'm going to leave you and go somewhere else. Now, when you first got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you didn't think that at all. You said, oh, God is so sweet. It's so wonderful. I love everybody. Oh, Amen. Y'all remember that? Now, listen to what Jesus said to the church. He said, nevertheless, I have a complaint to make. You have less love now than you used to. Your love is diminishing. If your love is diminishing, God is diminishing. And if God is diminishing, the only thing that can be added is the spirit of Satan. Judgment, condemnation, accusations, murder, hate, rape, all kind of horrible things. Do we have that going on? Divorce. Huh? You'll be leaving the church. How many people do we have leaving the church? Millions? Now listen to what Jesus said. Boy, this is good stuff, folks. If you can handle it, it's talking right to our hearts.